always a privilege, and we're
it's always good about content
in the house of God. Come to worship and give God the praise and thank Him for what He's done and what He's doing. First, I'm going to be sharing from John chapter 10 today, Lord willing. And first, I want to pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time to gather together in Your name. And Lord, we trust You, Lord, for what's said and shared, that it might be to Your glory, to bring praise to Your name. And Lord, to honor and lift You up. And Lord, may You be our heart's motivation in all things. We give You praise, and we're thankful for all that you are. And Lord, we just say, here am I, use me, Lord. And our desire is to present You, to give You the glory. We ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to be sharing a little bit here of the story, Lord willing, on the Good Shepherd. Okay, I'm going to read a few verses, and then I'll share some things here, Lord willing. In John chapter 10, speaking of the parable of the Good Shepherd, it says, truly, truly, or you may say most assuredly, I say to you, he that does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech, or a parable here, Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what these things were which he had been saying to them. Jesus therefore said unto them, again, truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Then he says, I am the door. If any man enters through me, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. Okay, I want to share with you a few things here. I thought it was important to get an idea here. Something before I present the Lord Jesus, I want him to have center focus here, and it's all about him. This was spoken by him. It's written in red. It's the words of the Lord Jesus. But I want to talk about sheep a little bit here. Just a few things that I found. Sheep are followers, and they need to be led, not driven. Okay? And I can say it in a spiritual sense also, that we need to be led. And the Lord leads His sheep. He don't drive His sheep. So that's important to realize. As much as the shepherd leads the sheep, the Lord leads his sheep. Sheep have good memories, they say. They need to be positive as much as possible. Sheep they're somewhat like us in some senses. They're teachable by nature. That's interesting. Sheep don't like to be afraid or separation. They don't need to be separate because they'll get out of the way. And it's you can think of yourself in such a way, somewhat like these sheep. Sheep will bunch up in a corner to protect themselves. Maybe that's where they're saying the herd mentality. But about what they're saying, I think they're referring to the ones that they don't have much to say for. But anyway, sheep will bunch up in corners to protect themselves. Sheep don't like darkness. They like well-lit area. So that's interesting. A sheep move better on a flat surface or uphill. Sheep move toward other sheep. Sheep will move to a partially full pen. Sheep move through a long, narrow pen better, darks better, because they can, it keeps them in where the, it ain't so wide that they'll get all run over each other. Like, it's interesting how the shepherds shepherd the sheep. Dark surfaces and water, they say, is an issue with sheep. Sheep can hear good, but you can talk in a calm voice to them. They don't like a lot of loud noise. It startles them. And of course, that could be with other animals. Sheep have eyes on the side of their head. Their blind spot is in the back of their head, because that way they can see what's going on each side. A predator or something that could cause harm to a sheep. It's interesting. Sheep can see all predators from all sides. If frightened, they run away in a panic. They need to be guided. We need to be guided. And the Lord is my guide, and He's your guide. He leads us and guides us. So we're like sheep going astray. We were like that until He found us. He knew where we was at, but He called us to Himself. And that's something. You must come through the gate. Don't climb up over the side of the pen. You must come through the gate. And that's what terrifies them when they're trying to get in on the wrong way. And this is what people are doing. They're trying to come to heaven the wrong way. They don't believe this, and there's only one way. They just don't make sense in the natural. But if Jesus said it, we are to trust Him, because He is the good shepherd and He won't lead us wrong. You must come through the gate, not climb over the side of the pen. Don't move sheep in the heat of the day, they say. They'll suffer from heat exhaustion. This is what I found out on checking some information out about sheep. Sheepdog is also used to herd the sheep. Okay? They got a dog, and I'm sure you heard of it. They need to be in a flock together. Isn't that interesting? Together. When they get apart, then they're straying. So today, what a joy it is to come together and to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Together, we'll go to heaven. Together. It's all about Him, most and foremost, for all, but yet together we'll be there, those that know Him. Not separated, or no lone rangers, I would say. I wrote that myself. Sheep, about sheep, or you could say in the Christian realm, someone gets startled, someone gets like a sheep, someone gets upset, or they feel like they're allowing something to come between them and the Lord, and they tend to stray, or they tend to stop. But you know what? The Lord wants us to go. He wants us to continue, and He wants us to trust Him day by day. And then make up our mind. Let's say this, that I'm not turning back. I don't have anything out there. I'm going ahead. If a sheep is on his back, he can't get up. You have to grab him by his fleece and turn him over. They got a big old woolen coat where you get wool and all that. Make different things. But they get some of them round. Like a, it's just round. And they really, it's hard for them to get up. I've seen a picture of one who's over on his back. And he just has them little legs that he's trying to move, but he has a problem getting up. And sometimes predators can get them and kill them, or they can die out there laying and can't get up. I want to say that when you think you can't get up, call on the Lord and he'll get us up. Think about that. The shepherd picks us up when we fall. Okay? I just want to share a little bit about the sheep. And let's say, understanding sheep behavior is important in contrast to the Lord Jesus. Okay? Understanding what we're going through as sheep of His pasture, we graze and are fed in the Word of God. So we'll see that later. They'll come in and go out and into pasture. And I want to talk about the Good Shepherd. Also, here more, most of all, our Lord Jesus. But I want to say also, I think I'm going to just read what I've got, some stuff down here, and then we're going to read the Word of God. We'll kind of look in here and see what we have, Lord willing. But before I read all the scriptures, a sheepfold also was an enclosure in which sheep were sheltered at night. It was on an area surrounded by a fence and having the opening that was used as a door. The sheepfold refers to the Jewish nation, I believe, in a spiritual sense. These men were not true shepherds. I may read something about them in some in Jeremiah and Ezekiel. But it says here, well, I've got it here, that men were not true shepherds. They climbed up some other way. They were thieves and robbers. They eventually would put Jesus to death. He came into his own, to the Jewish people. He was a Jew. But his own received him not. They didn't believe. They were blinded in their own sin. And they even asked him, before we get into this in John chapter 10, are we blind also? They didn't realize. And they wanted him to tell them, are we blind? They didn't even know, don't believe. But anyway, a little more here. I'm reading. It refers to Jesus himself. He came to the lost sheep, the house of Israel. Okay? So we're indebted to the Jew. Thank God for the Jews. Think the best and leave the rest with God. You see, yes, a lot of them were blinded, and most. The nation was living in their rituals and all the stuff they're doing and trying to, they said they would do this and do that, but yet they found themselves in trouble. And they didn't trust the Lord. That was one of their biggest mistakes. And then that's why they went around a circle, 40 years in the wilderness and all that. But what we find here, he came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was the true shepherd of the sheep, Jesus. He came in perfect obedience to the will of the Father. He came and he said, not my will, but thy will be done. Okay? He's seen things as from a heavenly perspective. He was from heaven, but he was living to do his Father's will. And this is where we find success. After accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, we'll make, when you pray about something or when you're pursuing something, just talk to Jesus and say, Lord, in this situation, I'm looking for an answer, but I'm going to trust you by faith that you're the answer, and I pray the Lord's will be done. That way you won't be trying to do things in your will. Because sometimes we really don't know, but we can trust Him. He knows. And His will is always right. Okay? And then Christ is the door. We'll find later here in the John chapter 10. Christianity is a person. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the living Christ. Christianity is personal. It's a living Savior. It's not a religion. Religions try to find their way. Their way. They're always sidetracked. And they're always teaching something else. And then all their founders are dead. Those that started these different religions. But there's one that lives. And it's the Lord Jesus. He's living today in heaven. He'll never die again. He did die once and for all, but never to be die again. Thank God for that. Because to pay the sin debt in full. The sheepfold represent Israel, I believe. Just going to give you some little things here. You can study for yourself. The shepherds in Israel would lead the sheep rather than drive them. Okay? So that's important. They need a leader. We need a leader. Our leader is the Lord Jesus. The Pharisees couldn't understand because they were spiritually blind in unbelief. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolish unto him, and neither can he know them." Because naturally you cannot discern spiritual things. And then they don't have their eyes open. They had their physical eyes, but they were thinking. They could see and think with their own physical makeup, but they didn't see that there's eyes of the inside, eyes of our heart, and eyes of our ears of our heart that we can hear from inside. The Lord comes and He just don't give knowledge, but He gives salvation in the heart. He saves you from the inside out. And He changes you to become more like Him because He's working through the process and making you more like Him. We just submit to Him and allow Him to work and open the Bible and study and read and love the Lord and ask Him to speak. And then He's ready. Lay aside everything and just spend time with God. Putting God first. Jesus is the door and the gate of the sheep, I believe. The hireling is driven by fear, and the shepherd is compelled by love for them. Okay? So you see, the shepherd is the shepherd of love. And He loves us, and He demonstrated it by dying in our behalf. And then, when He changed us, we have love, God's love. And that's what makes a difference in a person's life. That they were living without the God's love. And then they were doing things in their own natural ways. But the Lord does a good thing because He's a good shepherd. John 10:14, I'm kind of getting into this. "I am a good shepherd and I know my own. And my own know me." So we see a relationship there. He's a good shepherd and He knows His own. And His own know Him. See, you got to know the Lord. If you don't know Him in your heart, then you need to get to know Him. But He's inviting you to come. And I'm glad that we that know Him look forward to come and to spend time with Him. And He has an intimate relationship with His sheep, shared by the Father and the Son. Not only is there a relationship with the Lord Jesus to His sheep, to us, His people, but also there's the relationship we see. That relationship was before that He had a relationship with the Father. They were one-on-one. They were individually, they are separate in the sense that there's God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but yet the same is there's a oneness. They were drawn together in purpose, in His plan, and in everything. They didn't disagree. There was no division. It's all unity. So He unites the body and brings them into one. And we're going to see this about this flock here. I may touch on, Lord willing. Okay. I want to go through this here a little bit here. He says, truly, truly. Some versions might say a little different, barely, barely. But some say it's most assuredly. But you can count on it. It's true. He said, I say unto you, I do not enter. He who enters by the door of the fold of a sheep, but climbs up some other way is a robber, a thief and a robber. Okay? So, I've already shared a little bit here about a sheep and things here. But he says he enters by the door. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Okay? He's the door in John chapter 10 and verse 9. I am the door. If any man enter through me, if anyone enters through me, he shall be saved. That's guaranteed. That's not saying he might be saved, or he should be saved. He said he shall be saved. That's positive tense. He will be saved, you might say, because that's why I can say you shall be saved. But we know we got to come through the Lord. But he calls his own sheep by name. He knows his sheep, and the shepherd knows his sheep. They say that when they're crowding sheep in a pen, there may be more than one shepherd that has them in a pen. And they say it's a rectangular. Some of it was a rectangular, like, instead of making a square corner where they'd all get in and get crowded and maybe trample on some, they had it like coming up a narrow thing and then in a triangle thing. They knew what they were doing as far as what worked the best for sheep, for the sheep herders. But they know their shepherd's voice. That's also, I want to say, they know the shepherd, okay? Sheep are pretty smart animals, really. But we know the voice of the Lord. So we know our shepherd. And a stranger, they'll not follow because they don't know his voice. That's the thing. But Jesus used a figure of speech to speak to them, but they did not understand what those things were, he had been saying to them. And Jesus therefore said to them again, he had to say it again a second time, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. So we got to come through the door. Jesus is the door. And he said, all that ever come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If any man enters in, he shall be saved. Okay. But I've come, the thief, verse 10, the thief cometh not only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life and have it abundantly. He come that we might have abundant life, which is a full life. It's complete, and he's always ready to freshly, I believe, in a sense of practical receiving, to fill you. He's complete. We need to be filled. He's full, but he wants to fill you to overflowing. I am, verse 11, I'm the good shepherd. He laid down his life for the sheep. This is another mark that you see here where that he was willing to die for his sheep. There's another thing I'm going to say is these religions of the world, their founder does not die for them. He's not willing to pay that kind of a price. That's because he's deceived already and he's trying to deceive others and they don't even realize it. But they're embedded to it. They're trusting in something other than the Lord Jesus. So that would be a false shepherd, okay? And the one that's a hireling hand, verse 12, he sees the wolf coming, or the sheep, who's the owner. Sheep beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep, flees, and the wolf snatches them, scatters them. You see, he's in it for the money. A hireling is a paid hand that's out to get the money. But when it comes to tough times come, he runs. He's trying to get out himself. He's not willing to stay with them, to protect them. He's leaving them on their own. He's not concerned about the sheep. This is why Jesus says that. He says it two times at 11, I'm the good shepherd. 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. He says it two times because it's important. He's trying to get the point across. Okay? And I think I'll stop right there a minute. I wanted to read something in Jeremiah chapter 23, 1 through 4. He says, "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who are tending my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not attended to them. Behold, I'm about to attend to you for the evil of your deeds, declares the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of the countries where I have driven them, and shall bring them back to their pasture. And they will be fruitful and multiply. And I shall also raise up shepherds over them, and they will tend them, and they will not be afraid any longer, nor be terrified, nor will any missing, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord." Okay? And then another little passage I'd like to read here, a prophecy against the shepherds of Israel, is in 34, Ezekiel chapter 34. He says, "The ways of the Lord, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to these shepherds, thus saith the Lord God, Woe, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. These are the sick you have not strengthened, the diseased you have not healed, the broken you have not bound up, and scattered have not brought back. Nor have you sought for the lost, but with force and with severity you have dominated them. And they were scattered for lack of a shepherd. And they became food for every beast of the field, and were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill, and my flock was scattered over the surface of the earth. And there was no one to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my flock has become a prey, my flock has even become food for all the beasts of the field for lack of a shepherd, and my shepherds did not search for my flock, my shepherds, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against the shepherds, and I shall demand my sheep. From them I make them cease from feeding sheep. So the shepherds will not feed themselves anymore, but I shall deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be food for them." So this here was all going on. Here we have a record of it in the Old Testament. And I had something else here. I just know I did. Yeah, maybe here it is. Something else here written down. I wanted to say something. Understanding, okay, here we have here, it says in 1 Peter 2:25, it says here, "We were like sheep going astray, but are returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of our souls." So we were like the sheep. We were straying sheep. Isaiah talks about it too. In Psalms 23:1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Okay? A personal shepherd. He's the shepherd of those that put their trust in him. It's our shepherd. Individually and one-on-one, he is our shepherd. We've come to know him and realize he's our shepherd when we trust him. Ecclesiastes 12 tells us, verse 11, "The words of the wise men are like goads and masters of collections, as well as like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd, Jesus." One shepherd. So there's only one shepherd, And he's the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? One true shepherd, one good shepherd. Okay? And that's who we look to. We can't go wrong when we're looking to the one shepherd. And then Hebrews 13:20 talks about the shepherd. It says, now the God of peace who brought up from the dead that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant. Okay? So there, he's referred to not only good, but he says he's referred to as the great shepherd. Okay? And the eternal covenant was from eternity. His everlasting covenant, I believe. Through the blood, he predestined, he predetermined down through time that what would happen. He knew exactly what was going to happen. And it was a process that had taken place. But it's his mind and his eye, he already seen it from the beginning. Think about that. Think about viewing things from God's perspective. And you can see the full picture. He wants us to see it from the beginning to end. And then in the process, he wants us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. To get to know Jesus more. First, I want to say 1 Peter 2:25, for you were continually straying like sheep. But now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Jesus said, 2:25, we were straying like sheep, but now we've returned to the shepherd. And then 1 Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. That's Jesus, the chief shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's only one shepherd. It's Jesus. He's the chief shepherd. He's the great shepherd. And we already said the good shepherd. In Isaiah 40:11, he says, like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. And in his arms, he will gather the lambs and gather and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. And think about what he does here. He'll tend his flock. In his arms, he'll gather them and carry them when they can't walk. You know, he's a loving shepherd. He's a true shepherd. You can see it here. And then he'll gently lead the nursing ewes. He'll lead his flock. Sheep are helpless like us. We need a shepherd. And Jesus is that shepherd. Okay? Jesus is the shepherd. He says in verse 16, and I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd. There we go again. That's that one shepherd. But this is speaking of the Jews and Gentiles. Because he says, I have other sheep, verse 16, which are not of this fold. Okay? And then it says, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life. I might take it up again. And he lays it down of his own initiative. And then we see here that it says, Jesus answered them, the Jews, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's the thing to think about. We're following Jesus. Continue to follow him. He gives you the desire to. He gives you the will to. He enables you. He empowers you. And a loving shepherd, it's almost like the song goes, how could you say no to this man? One that can give you everything you need, can satisfy you to the full. The one that stands in your defense and is the one you're going to see when you die. What a shepherd he is. And I want to say here, verse 29, my Father, he's saying, God the Father, my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. They say the word in Numbers 7:26, snatch, or take them out of the Father's hand, is harpazo. It's like speaking of the rapture, that he's going to catch us up. He will deliver his own. He will come back for them. He will take them. And naturally, we can't lose because we're winning. We're on the winning side. Jesus is won for us, but he's still got some more things to do. He's waiting on the Father to send his sending. He don't know when, but he's honest about it. He says, the day and hour, I don't know, but I'm coming. So I'm thankful that we can be ready. And then he says, I and the Father are one. Okay? It's a good story here about the parable of the Good Shepherd. We can learn much from it. I'm still to learn more. I can see some more light. I think there's more to learn. But, you know, hey, I'm still studying. And the thing of it is, we can study. We can come to the Lord and say, open my eyes, Lord, and my ears, my heart. Reveal yourself to me. And then he will, you're on a journey. He's taking you somewhere. Heaven, one day. But while we're in this life, we can live with a heavenly perspective. We can be empowered with high thoughts. Living on a highway from above. Oh, you're below. But the thing of it is, we're living in this world below, which is not our home, headed to our eternal home, which is way beyond whatever you see out there. But we're going there. And he's promised. He will keep his promise. And, you know, it's a good life. It's the best life. Just keep on looking to Jesus. And our Lord knows that the greatest story could be told. I want to sum up this story and finish. This is the greatest story that has ever been told down through time, and has been back in days of old, and it is being told today, right now, and it will be until he comes again in the future. So you see here, look at the Lord and see how he's, isn't it amazing that he's got the past covered, the present, and the future. It's all summed up in him. He lives in eternity. We live in time. And sometimes we don't see things from his perspective. But and another thing, Abel was a keeper of the sheep. Okay, in the story of Adam and Eve, there were many shepherds. King David was a shepherd. And many in the Bible, but thank God, out of them all, the greatest thing that them shepherds could find, and us likewise, is Jesus. So the center of focus I want you to see here, I hope to get out of it as I close, is seeing Jesus as all in all, seeing him as his story. From the beginning to the end, oh yeah, we'll read about Moses. We'll read about the mediator of the Old Covenant. Moses was the mediator between God and man in the old stories. But Jesus is a mediator. He's a mediator between God and man. But through the everlasting covenant, it was needful that Jesus come and be a mediator, to mediate between us and him and God, to what the old couldn't do, you know, what was it? What was going out of it? It's fading away, but it's still beneficial to study. The new, he was planning ahead for the future and finishing up the consummation of all things. He's bringing things to completion, and we will see him as he is, and we'll be in his sight, and we won't have to have faith in all things, because we'll see him. We'll already have him. What are you trusting in? He'll be there. If it's needed that we do, he knows, and we'll see it from his perspective. We'll be perfect. So to this day, all I'm going to say is continue to keep on going with God. Trust him. And the Lord help you to understand this more my prayer is that I'll understand more. If there's something else here in this story, but I want to say Christianity is a person, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? It's not a religion. It's in one person. But through the person, there's three, and yet one. We know that. So we don't deny neither one or all three. But it's centered in Jesus because He died. The Lord sent His Son to die, the only begotten Son. And because of Him, we have a living relationship. Okay? It's ongoing, and it's in the Spirit. So that's why He says, they that worship the Lord must worship Him in spirit. You've got to have the Holy Spirit in your life. He comes in the person of Christ. And I'm thankful that He did. It's all by grace. And anyway, I'm thankful that I need to see Jesus as all in all. Okay? And then we can realize that don't get sidetracked. The stories have their value. They have their place. But the greatest story is Jesus, and it's the greatest story ever told, and it's the greatest person, and it's the greatest, it's all great. I can't explain it like I'd like to. So I just trust the Lord that we can see Jesus and continue to look to Jesus, because the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He wrote the book. The author and the finisher. There's other writers, I'm sure. But it was inspired by the Lord. He said, every word, no prophecy, is it any private interpretation? But all scripture is written by the Spirit. It's by, not of man. It's not the will of flesh, but it's of God. It's inspired from the beginning to end. If you don't understand something, trust Him. And in time, He'll help you see. Ask Him to give you light on the subject. So, Father, we thank You, Lord, for this privilege to stand and to share this parable, this story also about the Good Shepherd. We're thankful that we know You. And, Lord, we're thankful for those here that do know Him and know You too. And, Lord, help us to be ready always to give a reason of the hope that's within us, if we come in contact with someone. And then help us to live the light of Christ, that He may people see that we're different. Not because we're trying to change ourselves, but we're living in Your unchanging grace. That Your changes from day to day, but You remain the same. So use us in Your plan. Whatever's accomplished, we'll give You the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.